You don't even realize you got to go to rehab, or you got to go through the withdrawal pains, stomach knots and cold sweats and all that. You ain't sick, boy. You an addict. You know what I mean? You got to get that shit out your system.
No, it's crazy because I know even like grown men who were kind of using it as like a gimmick. They put it on social media, blah, blah, blah. But then like shit changes and they just end up getting so into it. And then it's just they're like real deal junkies after a
right,
while.
Right. You know, I try not to like judge it because it's like I understand. Like I've been there. You know what I'm saying? I've been around it, and it's not an easy thing for real. Like it ain't an easy thing to just be like, yo, I'm about to stop. Like that's the thing. It's a certain rapper, right? I ain't gonna say his name, but he was like, yo, I'm about to just stop lean. Mm. And I'm looking. He said on Twitter, and I'm just looking at him like, bro, you have no idea how rough it's gonna be. Like once it starts leaving your body. That withdrawal is gonna bring you back unless you really like truly prepared. You can't like a lot of people on both sides. You gotta realize you can't be like drink lean every day and go on tour and decide to stop doing like drinking lean at a high pace and think that you're gonna be able to do your shows, bro. Maybe one day, just maybe the first day, the second, you ain't gonna be able to really leave.
Do you ever go through bed. That phase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my demons before, like, you know what I'm saying? I learned from them. And, you know, a lot, it's like, you know, that's why I don't really, like, I never really, like, bragged about it. Like I don't, and it's not, this is my perspective, I never really bragged about it because it was something that I needed maybe to, you know, to numb myself from other things. It was not something I glorified. It wasn't like, yo, let's, you know what I'm saying, let's do this, do that drug, do this drug. It wasn't there like that. It was like, man, everybody's depending on me to be this kind of way, and right. I don't feel this way inside, so let me just, you know, do this to alter my state of mind so I can, to be this person that makes everybody's job easier.
Right.
You know.
No, I feel that. And it's a strange thing, too, because you got young kids who promote it and you feel bad for them because they probably just don't know any better. But then you got like grown ass men, too, who you know that they're really in that shit. Like once you're in the studio and you really see dudes like begging people on the phone to get some lean over there and shit, and you really start to realize like, oh, this ain't that cool.
A lot like maybe 50% of addicts don't know they addicts. Probably. Mm. I don't know the exact number, but I know it's probably at least 50% of addicts don't know they addicts. You know? Mm. And maybe even more, because when you talk about things other than weed, it could be social media, it could be attention, it could be whatever, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of people don't even realize it. They just think they got an affinity for it or they like enjoy it, you know what I'm saying? So, but I've always been careful not to judge anybody that, you know, that has an addiction because we all flawed. That's what makes us human.
Do you ever feel like that's kind of the problem of getting older as a rapper is that you no longer have that like youthful exuberance where you can just talk about all this crazy shit like it's no big deal?
No, I mean, I think you can talk about it, you know, from a better perspective. But one thing that I know, dealing with, you know, friends in the industry or in the streets that have addiction, is like you have to be careful how you address that. You can't come through judgy. If you come through judgy, they're gonna turn your back on you. You know what I'm saying? You have to find a way to talk to them. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's like, okay, how much are you taking a day? Like, how much are you tapering off? How is that working? Like, you know, do you want to get away for like a week or something like that? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's ways that don't be like, man, put that shit away, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because that's going to be like, man, get out of here, bro. You don't know what I feel inside.
And people aren't going to listen to you if you don't seem like you understand what they're going through. Like, if you're just super like, remember, Just Say No to Drugs?
Yeah.
That didn't really do much.
It was more so a gimmick, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For whatever purposes was back then or whatever, maybe it was to battle Reaganomics. I don't really know, but I know it was just like cool. McGruff the crime fighting dog, that nigga long since retired. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, America's opioid crisis it could very well turn into the crack academic. What's the word? Epidemic.
Right.
The crack epidemic. It could turn into that. You know what I'm saying? It could get even more out of control.
It feels like it's getting there sometimes.
So it do. But I mean, I got faith in the people though. I feel like, you know, it's some people are turning the corner. I think that the wanting to quit is the first step and best step.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that just don't want to quit, that's dangerous. When you just don't want to. Some people in their heart of hearts want to quit, but it's all they know. All they know is this feeling, or, you know, they don't want to deal with the withdrawal. They don't want to go to that space.
I'm friends with a rapper who drinks a shitload of lean. He'll get locked up for, you know, 6 months, whatever. He gets out, and he's just plastered on his Instagram story, like, the next day. Like, I don't know what the 6 months is like being locked up, but I would think that if you're going to be thinking about anything.
A lot of people come home and relapse, though. A lot of people, because it's like, all right, let me just try it one time. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Or let me just feel it one time, and I'm done. It's, you know, it's more of a psychological, like, prison, you know what I'm saying? Is this more of a psychological prison than anything? Like, it's just like you real life, you know, psychologically think you need it to live or need it to, you know, survive or whatever. And physically, you might actually need it to sleep. You might just need it to sleep.
I know plenty of rappers who get into it just because it seems like a fun, nice. Because anything you can get from the doctor is kind of easy to, like, ease your way into.
Clean, and you don't smell it. You know,
like, all the people who get addicted to Xans because they took one Xan on a plane one time and they thought it was all good, and then.
Man, I ain't going to hold you. Like, Xans make me, like, the tiredness. I wake up still tired and, like, that's not a vibe. Like,
yeah, at this point in your career, you feel like you're mostly, like. Like, cause, you know, everybody has their demons. Sometimes you look at people and you're thinking, like,
demons while I'm drinking them. Nah, this is water. This is a prop.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It probably says water in, like, small letters on the back. You probably get the Red Bull waters too, right?
Yeah. Now they put the collar shows, the Red Bull waters.
Well, I don't know if they have those, but for Monster, they do. They send you Monster that looks like Monster, but it's actually water.
Really?
Yeah, so if you win, like, the X Games or some shit, you can look like you're chugging a Monster, but it's just water.
Oh, wow. That's actually a great idea.
Yeah.
I might have to do that with Red Bull.
I remember, like, probably 6-7 years ago, I seen Juicy J play live, and he came out and just chugged a whole bottle of fucking champagne to start it. And then, like, as an adult, I'm like, he probably didn't actually do
ginger ale, yeah, something like that. You know, if you want to be smarter, you know.
I mean, he's kind of a wild older man, but I would think that's probably a pretty bad idea for his long term health.
I mean, champagne is different though. I see if it was like Hennessy or something like that. Mm. Champagne a little lighter, like, you know. I would assume his tolerance is a little bit different.
But. You ever think about just going full cold turkey? Because I think about it all the time.
Yeah, I do. And I mean, I think it's not hard for me to stop, like, drinking and nothing like that. I just need time to myself. I need to not have to, like even right now, my brain and my mind don't know what time it is, because we went from New York to Atlanta to Indiana to LA to Atlanta to Paris. To DC to Paris, from Paris to New York, New York to LA. Now, you know, right now we're here in, like, a, you know, it's like, would you rather, like, come into interview or meeting at the label, like, oh, like, you you mad at the world, but you really just tired? Or would you rather just, like, have a drink or two and just be like, all right, cool, like I'm vibing a little bit, or have, or smoke a blunt or something like that,
right?
You know, sometimes it's like that, but, you know,
yeah.
And again, I never want to sound like holier than thou, like, because you can, one could compare one to the other, even though one comes from, you know, weed comes from the ground and all that other stuff, but in essence it might be some type of advice.
Because I noticed it myself, like, once I get into that 20 blunts a day zone with all the homies and shit, and you just feel like, damn, this shit is really fucking having a negative impact on my life.
Well, it's different for me, because I really only smoke in studios or at the club. Mm. I don't smoke that much, like, in the house by myself, or like, if I'm chilling with a girl or something like that, you know. But I don't really, like, I don't just wake up and smoke a blunt. Like,
really? I can't do that at this point in my life.
I never really, like, I was always, like, socially, like, you know what I'm saying, or, like, when I'm just in a creative, like, writing space.
Right. Yeah, so I'm really interested to get some of your thoughts on, like, the state of, like, rap media, because that's one thing that I've always, like, seen you have, like, a bit of a critical side in terms of, like, the way that you've been presented or the way that things are presented in general. I'm just sort of interested in sort of sparking that debate. Like, there's a lot going on in rap media. Some of it's good. A lot of it's trash. I think we could maybe both agree. What do you appreciate out there in terms of, like, stuff that you're seeing on social media or balance, YouTube, whatever?
Balance. Like, it's all, to me, media was created to give everybody a voice, or, you know, but I think as of late, like, you know, there is a lot of bias going on, and it's creating confusion. On one good point is there's no general consensus no more, but on the other side is like there's a lot of the swing of public opinion through nefarious means. You know what I'm saying? A lot of all right, I don't like this person, I'm not going to cover him. Like, when journalism, you know, journalism and biasness cannot go hand in hand. Like, you know, you could be a Raiders fan, but you're posted in Arizona and you got to cover the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no bias involved. There's media. You got to report the stats, report what's going on. You know what I mean? So balance in media is something that, like, I respect, and lack thereof is something that I really don't respect.
Yeah, I appreciate your passion about that when you sort of went in on Everyday Struggle. You made, like, you know, that was one of their early viral moments on the show. When you see Joe Budden, like, kind of embracing that media side, and he's somebody that was, like, sort of a rap peer, even though he's a little bit older at a certain point for you, like, do you feel any sort of, like, temptation or, like, connection to the idea of wanting to be this, like, on-air personality, or does that seem really foreign to you?
Well, I always knew that Joe was the type of person that could do radio. You know, I never thought nothing like that for me. I really don't want to get, like, too involved in other people's business. Mm. You know, that's not a life that I feel like I'd be comfortable living. But I mean, he's really good at his job, though. Like, he's good at it, and it's healthy for the culture. It's healthy for the culture to have different perspectives that are honest and aren't biased in any regard. Just like it's good for sports. You know,
yeah.
ESPN can't be biased. Like, you know, you can't be Josina Anderson and be like, oh my gosh, the Colts lost. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And he's a good, you know, voice of reason. You know?
I feel like being smart sometimes as a rapper can be almost like a liability. Whereas, like, it's never going to be a liability as a journalist. But, like, sometimes it feels like certain rappers, and Joe, I might put him in this category, and I think at times you've been there too, is that your content ends up being, like, too highbrow, sort of misses the average consumer.
Well, I mean, I think that's all. Sometimes it's things other than that, because I believe Kendrick is a very intelligent person. Schoolboy Q, J. Cole, Chance, Smino, you know, a lot of guys, Gold Link, these are intelligent people, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't think intelligence got to be a detriment. I think there are certain ways of delivering it, and sometimes it's just the way the cookie crumble. It's just, you know, some people was born to be, you know, the at the top of the mountain, and some people weren't born to be there. And that's just how, you know, you might be on the wrong label, might have the wrong, you know, might have, you know, people's attention is just on this person or that person. You know, I don't think intelligence is the detriment.
No, definitely not always, but it's just sometimes it feels like it. But then again, like, there's a lot of things in our current, like, rap environment that feels like it's making us, like, question a lot of the previous expectations we had. Like, J. Cole just came out and did crazy-ass numbers on an album that's basically a anti-drug PSA.
Right.
He went with that as his main focus. And if you were to ask anybody in the rap game, they would have told you, like, yeah, rappers these days, they just love lean and Zans and talking about that shit. If you made a whole album against that, then that probably wouldn't be a good thing.
J. Cole always been, like, going against the grain, you know what I'm saying? And his fans are loyal to him. They loyal to him, they love him, and he's transparent with them. Again, he's one of the lucky ones that, you know, it just sticks with. They're going to listen to him.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I made a song called Girls on Drugs, you know what I'm saying, on an album about nothing. Mm-hmm. It's essentially talking about the same stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it couldn't go both ways. Like, I think that one kind of went over heads a little bit, or wasn't the timing of it, or whatever. It could be the label, could be whatever. But, you know, his fans, they felt him on it, and they championed him enough for it to get to the masses, and it became a mainstream success. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure Cole would agree that a lot of this credit to his fan base and how loyal they are, and that comes from him being transparent.
Yeah. Those fucking album about nothing, or mixtapes about nothing from back in the day, that, like, really brings me back to, like, that Nat Wright era for me.
Were you
on there, like, from super early on?
The blog, I didn't really understand the concept of the blogs, but I was, you know, I had good people around me that was just like, bro, just make the music, we'll make sure, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We were all kind of just kids figuring it out.
Because you and Cole, when I think about you guys, or even, there's a lot of other rappers sort of in that time period where that's like the first time I became familiar with you guys, and it wasn't like, I grew up, like, obsessed with The Source and XXL and all this shit.
Right.
That was, like, the exact moment where I stopped buying that shit and started reading Nat Wright every day and felt like I was way more in tune with interesting new rappers.
It was quicker, you know what I'm saying? And then I think the blogger made urban culture one language.
Mm.
It's just one language, it's one You know, the slang is not regional, as regional as it used to be, because everybody's online. And you could be from Denver and have a girlfriend in Houston because y'all met on Twitter, and or you could, you know, you got a producer now that lives in China, whatever. It's just one world of our culture right now. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what makes everything so quick now, and that's why a lot of people put the magazines down. And it's good and bad, because magazines, there's a certain art to being able to hold it in your hand, flip through the pages, from album artwork to, you know, one thing Q-Tip told me years ago, he's like, bro, all we used to have is The Source, XXL, and our album artwork. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have to do mad interviews, mad this or that. It was just like two or three things, and then they get to be Tribe Called Quest the rest of the 365 days of the year.
That's hilarious. Now, do you feel like you kind of miss that era, just in terms of like how much simpler it must have been marketing yourself in that age?
I think I'd have a lot more peace throughout my career. I probably would have if I didn't have as much to do. There's been times that we just wouldn't. I can just honestly admit I've been understaffed, and that puts a burden on me, that I don't think I wouldn't wish that on any artist, to have to deal with so much and then still try to be creative. You know what I'm saying?
You feel like the label sort of like left you high and dry at some point?
I would never honestly be able to tell you, because I don't know what they talk about behind closed doors, so it just could be speculation.
That's a weird day and age, though, in terms of like rappers who actually get the push from labels and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, again, it, like the stars align for some people. The stars just align, and you know, it ain't about who to do the best rapper no more. Like it ain't like being nice used to be like the championship ring.
Do you think it ever was like the main factor though? When I think about it, a lot of times I still think it was more about who had hits, who was cool.
I mean, I feel you on that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like, take Biggie for instance. He could rhyme like shit. Like, niggas was fucking with Biggie's flow or everything, but he was also making, like, you know, he had the stars in line. You had Diddy, like, yo, let's flip this. Biggie, give me one. Like, and then, you know, putting him on the right songs and everything. And, like, you know, that could have easily been God Rest His Soul. It could have been easily been Craig Mack. You feel me? And might not have had the same effect. But the stars are not. Biggie was a fly, fat nigga from Brooklyn that told bitches I'm ugly, but my talk game is good. Diddy knew what to do with that. So the stars align, and you know, a star is born.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or even now, you take Kendrick. Kendrick could easily just be like the dopest rapper from LA that be, you know, doing 1,000 people venues. But the stars align. He got the, you know, he got the right team. He got the right. He's one of the most incredible rappers in history of the world. You know what I'm saying? But he got all of the stars aligned around him. Or you can look at the other side of this perspective and look at like Elzai from Slum Village. One of a great wordsmith, everything. But it just like he's not a mainstream guy. But these are two top tier lyricists. Lupe as well, like he's top tier when it comes to the rap, like literally rapping,
right?
You know, and who knows, Lupe could make a hit, but a hit is not necessarily the best song. A hit and this generation is it like how much percentage of it is going viral, how many of the influencers are rocking with it, how successful is it on the blogs, how ironic is the video, maybe the ironic or how glamorous are either super ironic and you know, I'm a cow, you know what I'm saying? Ironic, or it's like one of Kendrick's fucking Scorsese of Tarantino style videos, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like a very polarizing era that we're in musically. It's very polarizing. But wouldn't you say that's a good representation of America? Look at our president,
right?
The ultimate troll. So doesn't it kind of make sense that like you can actually troll and get a top 10 record? Like, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be catchy, whatever, but it's partly because it's viral and it's like, oh, this is so funny. It's so ironic. Like, ironic fans are the worst.
What was so...
the worst, bro.
You're lucky that you probably haven't gotten that many of them, right? Like, they never had like an easy entry point to be like, man, this dude funny.
I don't know. I made myself I left myself open a couple times. But I'm learning from it though, bro. Like, I'm in a place now, bro. It's like, man, you know, I got good people around me now. Like, I mean, I've always had good people, but I don't think people understood me all the way. So, like, I'm not as I'm not as angry at the system no more because I've learned to deal with it. Like, these people are going to either love you or they're not. You know what I'm saying? It's frustrating when I'm in the airport and somebody's like, I'm a big fan. And I'm like, hey, what was the last one you got? And they be like, I like that one song that you did. And it's like a single from like 4 years ago. And it's like, bro, you know, I appreciate you like liking my single from 4 years ago that you got on that piff that you ain't even buy. But, I'm into like, there's a reward that I get from knowing that I have true, genuine fans.
Right.
And the only thing that kind of frustrates me is the oh yeah, I'm a fan. And it's like, you know, that's not what a fan is.
But it's crazy because like what a fan is for a lot of people might mean like they follow you on Instagram, they like a couple singles they heard, and they like, they know who you are. Maybe they like watch a couple videos here and there. Like, that's the new age we're in where people don't process projects the same way that they used to.
No, they don't.
You could be a fan of 15 rappers, but barely know about them.
Can you believe 2018, we got a Beyonce and Jay-Z album? Think about that. Like, think about that. Like, take yourself back to 7 years ago, you, and be like, yo, Jay-Z and Beyonce are gonna drop an album, Unexpected. You'd be like, yo, bro, like that's gonna, every radio station is gonna play the whole album all day, every day, all the time. Like,
right.
The album was amazing. Like the production, Jay's in top form rapping, but it's so much traffic right now. And some of it is authentic. Some of it is trolling. Some of it is, there's no passion behind it. But there's so much traffic right now that it's hard to penetrate the culture for real. Mm. Like, you know, and I'm not saying that joint because they're doing a stadium tour. But I'm just saying, like, that's a super big deal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Two of the best artists of our time. Mm. The marriage goals couple. You know what I'm saying? The two Forbes juggernauts made a dope album. And there's so much going on outside that it's just like, it kind of just, it's in the mix of a whole lot of other things.
Yeah, it's so hard to focus on any one thing. 10 years ago, that would have been, you know, months of attention put on that one moment.
And it's a lot of, the album's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
You're making me want to re-listen to it right now. All right, so let me say this. Last night I was watching this documentary about these graffiti artists in Miami, and they're fucking super hardcore. They still destroy fucking signs on the freeway and everything. And they're talking about how, you know, people ask them, like, when they get locked up, people are really like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you still doing that shit? There ain't no money to be made doing that, blah, blah, blah. You're taking all these risks. You're going to jail. And I was thinking about it, like, these dudes really love that shit.
You got to love it.
They're not going to make money doing it, but they fucking love it. And in a lot of ways, then, like, all day today, I've been listening to you, and I'm thinking, like, Wale really seems like the kind of guy that loves rap to the point where he's going to be doing it regardless of if it's commercially relevant. And it just stands out to me that, like, that's why you're the kind of guy that actually gives a fuck enough that you can feel emotion about when rap is going in a weird direction.
Yeah, and that's been the reason why I've been contemplating just doing something else, because it's like, you know, I ain't trying to stay long enough to see myself become the villain.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Especially when I got so much other things that I could shine like my light on to the world, you know. So I mean, I play with the idea often in my mind and think about what else I could be doing with my time and stuff like that.
But sometimes, like when you're talking about the Jay-Z and Beyonce album, I feel like, okay, that's good adult hip hop. Like, if you're somebody who you're in your mid or late 20s or your 30s or whatever, you should be able to enjoy that shit. Sometimes I feel like hip hop doesn't have enough dope projects that come out that really are like aimed at that. So then people tend to tap out of their like hardcore hip hop fandom earlier in life.
Well, I don't know, because I think Beyonce's goes to like even a middle school girl.
True,
you know what I mean?
True.
So, and everybody look up to Jay. So I just think it's more a testament of to how much stuff is in the marketplace. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You know, Drake, who's probably the biggest rapper in the world, dropped a double album. You know how much, of the population, the hip-hop population, that's going to take over for a couple months or a couple weeks. So it's going to be hard for other things to penetrate through, you know, that majority of that population.
Yeah. Somebody said to me the other day, they go, would you rather have a classic album or a huge meme? And I was like, the album, right? And he goes, nah, not really, because think about how many people have heard Drake's album in full versus how many people heard the Kiki shit, saw the dance, etc. Like, that shit had way more of an impact than the album in its entirety. Like, the stupid meme.
For now, though.
For in the media.
So we don't know what can happen if, you know, he might put something else out and it might go, you know what I'm saying? Or might shed light on something, or some hidden messages might like unveil. So we don't really know, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think that, you know, I don't know if we live in the age of instant classics no more. Mm. I don't know if we live in that age no more, because it's a lot going on. You know, right. There's a lot to process.
But it's almost like the meme is like a required way of promoting the full length project, because that's like going to be the main way to get people into it. And I see that even now, where it's like,
because we, everybody's on their phone. Mm-hmm. You know? You're right. And that's kind of unfortunate to, like, you know, we feed our families, or this is our way of living, and you know, we got to roll the dice on if something outside of the music makes this go viral. Mm. Something outside of my hard work and dedication, my story, my struggle, all this pain that's in these songs. Something outside of that has nothing to do with you, has to happen, has to occur in order for this to be commercially successful or penetrate into the mainstream mm-hmm. world. And that kind of, you know, compromises the art, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, we rap to rap. We don't rap. Well, we rapped to rap and say our stories and tell these stories. We didn't rap to go viral. Mm. You know, that has nothing to do with being in the studio all night perfecting your craft. That has nothing to do with the production, or, you know, how high your bass is, and or if you want to put strings on it, or the sample clearances and all these things. That has nothing. That has nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? That's mm-hmm. like saying, like, oh, the winner of this football game will depends on how much Sprite they sold at the concession stand mm-hmm. today. Like, it has nothing to do with the game.
Yeah, the way we judge rap typically is like when people are like arguing over like rap beef, and they're like, I'm the better rapper. A lot of times it feels like, well, you know, that's not necessarily even relevant to the argument that we're having right now, because usually in rap these days, it seems like the winner of a battle usually comes down to who's more commercially successful in the time after the release. That's what people usually end up basing it on, not the actual quality of the music more often than not.
I think us and film might be the only
film
occupation where it doesn't matter. Like, it matters how good you are, but that's not the number one thing. Everybody else's job is contingent upon how good you are at it. Uh-huh. Ours isn't, man. that's kind of like depressing a little bit. Like, it's not, you know. And somebody like me who's very OCD with the music, I stay with it, I sit with it, like. It's kind of depressing. Uncle, are you baby?
Toby scared me. Toby was like, yo, he was telling me about this interview. He goes, you know, Wale can be kind of sensitive. Like, what do you think you guys are going to talk about? I'm like, I mean, think it'll be
all
right.
I think most Virgos are sensitive, you know. Mm. Michael Jackson, we wouldn't know if Beyonce was, because she's Queen Bee. She can hold it in. But I think, you know, I mean, but that also would make my music what it is, you know. And again, it's about having good people around you, like, and getting out of my head. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been dogged by the media a lot, and it subconsciously made me in my head when I did interviews. So I would just have a negative cloud or be very defensive, and it's like something that I'm a grown man and I'm still working on. Like, now it's like, you know what? I used to care if I'm interviewing such and such and they don't like me, blah blah blah. They said something. Maybe I should care less. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And just, you know, do the interview and say what I gotta say what's on my mind. This is me. This is who I am. These are my rights. These are my wrongs. We're all flawed. Nobody's perfect. And this is what I am.
I was watching you today doing your last Rosenberg interview as well as your last Breakfast Club interview. And
I was trolling Rosenberg.
It was kind of like a very different, like, level of Wale. Like, I felt like your serotonin levels had really changed a lot during that.
The Rosenberg jump was just trolling, because I was just like, man, like, come on, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? But again, the funny thing is, bro, like, a lot of people don't really understand my sense of humor. Like, I love to be sarcastic. I love to, like mind fuck people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just how I keep my job interesting. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
What kind of interviews fuck do you fucking
dog.
Hate,
fuck,
though?
Fuck you, dog. Oh, I'm done.
I appreciate that.
See, like, shit like that. Like, I would
We could go viral as fuck if you did that.
I would do that. That should be the trailer to the jump. Like, we tried to interview Wale. We trolled them, like, dummies.
Well, I did that with Fatboy. I brought a giant fucking Coke, and I was like, I want to do like a viral thing here. So I'm going to say something to piss you off. You dump it on my head. I'll jump out of my
Let's
seat.
Let's do viral Coke. That'll go viral. Like,
you want to go do coke and then keep this interview going? Because that might change everything.
This conversation. Like, yo, let's make an album. Let's do it here. Yeah. Let's shoot a video.
Somebody said it to me the other day. They're like, yo, you ever been in a party and everybody's on coke? You walk into the party, you're not on coke, and everybody wants to have a private conversation with you. I'm like, yes, that's the worst, bro.
Yo, only in Hollywood. Only in Hollywood.
Definitely a Hollywood thing.
Only in Hollywood.
Oh, man. Yo, all right. So I heard Joe Budden the other day sort of exploring his beef with Eminem, which, you know, me as a fan of both of them, I was really enjoying watching how this all played out. And he was saying, like, in terms of his statement to Marshall, he was saying, you know, a lot of these young kids have done, yeah, they can't rap like us, but they have come up with things and done things that appeal to kids or appeal to the audience in a way that we weren't able to, and things in terms of melody, in terms of like vocal performance, whatever, things that are a little bit less tangible than like lyrics and stuff. How do you feel about it when you hear a statement like that?
I respect like all the music. Like, if it's good, it's good, bro. Like, regardless if it's like, you know, super backpack lyrical, whatever you want to call it, or just melodic, you know what I'm saying? I don't like music that don't make sense, though. I don't, like, everything, music got to make sense in some kind of way. Like, if it's, like, offbeat, there's, like, no hook, and it's, like, just crazy. Like, me, I can't, as an artist, because this is art still. That's just, like, scribbling on a piece of paper, and somebody be like, oh, wow, this is great. Like, you know, like I use Uzi as an example. You know why I love Uzi? Minus all the devil stuff. That scares me. But, you know, but,
See, I like that. That's a selling point for me.
He knows how to, like, Zanny make it go away. I'm committed, not a dick, but it be controlling me. Like, that little melody and then arranging it, I don't really care if you cry. That's rock and roll for real.
Yeah.
That's like Nirvana, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, oh, it's like hard rock, soft rock, but it's just like on trap beats with, you know, with different plugins. And that's how music evolves. That's just how music evolves. You know what I'm saying? And it makes sense. Thugger, his melodies, like, you know what I'm saying? His pockets and melodies, that shit is really good. That shit is innovative. And it's hip hop still. So I don't know. Like, a lot of it makes sense. Like, March Madness. To me, March Madness is one of my top 10 favorite songs ever. Mm-hmm. Ever. Like, at any genre, anything. You know
Joe
what I'm saying?
Joe Budden says that too. And so do I, actually.
The arrangement, the. Just never make it real for me. It just sounds like, and you know, 4 years later, it sounds like a classic is about to drop. Like, it, you know what I'm saying?
You ever think about how we're sort of stuck in our vision of like what the art form is supposed to be? Because when rock fans look at rock music, they don't necessarily think like, oh, this ain't lyrical. They don't have that built into their head the way that we sometimes do.
I don't know if they were as based on lyrics. The genre wasn't based on lyrics. You know what I'm saying? It was based on other things. The cohesion of the band, you know what I'm saying? How good the drummer is and all of these things. It wasn't based on lyrics. It was how good the lead singer is, you know, is coming across. Like, hip-hop was based on lyrics, you know what I'm saying? You know, all the old-school rappers and all that, they was all talking about how fly they was, how their crew is the best, how their neighborhood is the best. So that's what hip-hop is based on, you know?
Right.
So I don't expect lyrics to matter as much in other genre. And that's why it was such like a big thing when people talk about who has ghostwriters, because the foundation and the very fabric of hip hop is lyrics. It's lyricism. It's poetry, rhythm and poetry. You know what I'm saying?
But from your perspective, you've been in the industry for a long time. Are the fans just bullshitting themselves when they act like, oh, Drake has committed this horrible offense that nobody else is doing? I feel like the deeper you get into the industry, the more you realize that a lot of people don't necessarily write all their shit.
Well, I mean, I've wrote for a lot of people, so I understand. I don't really know like his Drake setup and all of that. And
it feels kind of fake to accuse or to hate on Drake for it when it seems as if there's a lot of people doing it who maybe aren't as big or whatever.
I don't really know how many people. Did y'all see my shoes?
Yeah, what are those called? I don't know.
These are Heineken SB Dunks. But did it get on the camera? Did it make it? Did it make it? Oh, yeah, cool.
They get a view.
Oh, Titan, is it done?
Swoosh.
It's finished now. I'll back it up and then put it like this.
There you go.
Just make sure, you know. Shout out to the good people. Shout out to P-Rod. That was a little commercial. Go ahead.
No, that's good. I'm interested.
He's like, no, that's good.
I don't know nothing about shoes.
It's so totally fine.
That's why I feel like it's going to be the main sticking point in terms of us ever becoming like real friends is I don't know anything about sports. You lose me on a lot of those metaphors.
Oh, yeah. So what is your thing then?
Like, see, I grew up riding BMX bikes. And oh, I'm into bikes. Skateboard and all that shit. So,
can I get a free bike?
Sure.
He took that little, like, I really want to get this motherfucking bike.
But, I mean, that's really just you asking me, like, can I have $300? And it's like, shit, all right, why not? You know, nah. I kind of owe you, if you had said, give me $300, I'll do this interview right now, I'd be like,
I could have easily been a
bike. You could have finessed me.
I could have easily been a bike guy, though, because I remember, like, that was the first time, like, I think one of my uncles came from Nigeria when I was little and bought me a Mongoose back in the day. The people around my way told me it was like a tight bike or whatever. Like,
it probably was at that time.
Somebody stole that jump, and then my affinity for riding bikes was over. Then I got a mountain bike and I couldn't do all the. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I could have been a bike guy. I never was a skateboard guy, though.
But it's weird because if you're a grown man riding a bike, you're basically doing it for fitness. Or you're a crackhead.
Or that shit might be fun. Like you see Nigel.
Fun.
Nigel be having a ball.
You know Nigel, that's crazy.
Nigel be having a ball. And Nigel make me, that's why I asked you for a bike. Because Nigel be making that shit look like the funnest shit ever.
I've been knowing Nigel since he's like 16.
And he's a boss. Like, he's going to inspire another generation of kids to want to ride bikes.
Yeah,
traditional bikes.
He made it look hip-hop in a way that like motherfuckers hadn't really up to that
absolutely,
point. You know,
absolutely.
Skateboarding has been fully like the culture understands skateboarding.
And a lot more black kids started skateboarding. And I don't even know the information, like, but I just know, like, you know, I started to take notice around when Lupe came out. Mm-hmm. How many people, like, I was like, damn, you can skateboard? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I knew it was turned up as soon as I saw Soulja Boy do a whole video standing on a skateboard. He didn't even move. I was like, this shit is lit. I'm like, it's officially
it's
going down.
It's commercial now, yeah.
But I was like, this was inevitable. This had to happen for people to figure out what they think of that shit in general.
But some people, like, you know, get into it late and get good at it. Like, Wayne's got real good at skateboarding, and he got into it late. You know what I'm saying?
He did.
Some people are just, like, again, it's like fads. Like, bro, like. I mean, I like SBs. I've been wearing SBs for the longest, but I ain't never been a skateboard guy. Never, never. I mean, I used to try to make the jump up and shit. Was it Ollie or something?
Yeah.
I used to try to do that, but that's as far as it went.
What's your exercise or, like, physical activity regimen like?
We hoop. You know, we hoop. We try to hoop as much as we can. I ain't really even had a chance to really work out in a minute, like, and it's starting to show. I'm starting to feel it, you know what I'm saying? Like, in my back, my shoulders, my arms, everything. But I hoop, lift, you know what I'm saying, box.
I feel like you're kind of like a vintage t-shirt, like, boss in the game right now. I feel like that you're kind of shutting that down right now with the Kennedy Space Center. That's pretty good.
Oh, nah. I mean, I mix it up sometimes. I wore a suit last night, so we balance it out.
I was chilling with this girl one time, and she had a random-ass shirt that said, the official prison of the 1984 Olympics. I'm like, where the fuck did you get that?
Why that might have been a screen-printed jump. They be making a lot of fake jumps.
See, that's a good idea. This was so long ago that I don't know if she would have been on that.
I think a lot of, well, there was this, the store, I don't know, next to American Rag, I forgot what it was called, they just closed it down.
Oh,
But they had mad vintage joints, and there was another store in LA, but it was on Fairfax, and I think they had, like, they were vintage designs, but they were, like, newly screen printed, like, and I could tell, like, they just been throwing in the washer a couple times and stuff like that. So it's weird when you shopping, when you thrifting and stuff like that.
Yeah, man, my thrifting game ain't shit because I'm, like, big and tall. That shit don't fit too much.
You got to just go holler at, like, basketball player. Like,
that's what I should do, facts.
Yeah, get some Laker friends.
You know, I never had a pair of Jordans my entire life or a pair of Nikes until Drake sent me a pair of Jordans.
And they're probably worth a lot of money, too, so.
I did wear them hella times, though.
Which ones are they?
The black OVO 8.
Oh, wow. He must really like you.
That was a good day.
Drake, I'm a 9. What's up?
I still never met him in real life, though, so it ain't that tight.
Oh, he go to Cali, go to his Hidden Hill party.
That's what I said. I tried to DM him and just mention that. Like, no, I'm right down the street, bro.
He don't let no media inside.
Yeah,
he ain't
let no media inside. You know they're taking my phone just like all these girls.
It's too powerful, though. You might catch something and that jump go crazy.
He's dumb if he doesn't take my phone away because he knows I'm fucking academics. Check this out. Look what I saw on the ground. The bathroom.
Oh man.
Yeah. Were you enjoying, you know, hopefully I can ask you this without you feeling like I'm just trying to get some clickbait out of you, but have you enjoyed this recent white boy war within hip hop?
I ain't never really look at it like color. I really just look at it as rappers doing what they do.
But this seems so specific. It's like Eminem, MGK, G-Eazy. It's like, I can't imagine a black dude jumping in this.
It's not a Royal Rumble, though. It's just one got an issue with one, and the other got an issue with one. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But it's not like they not all beefing with each other. Mm. And from what I hear, and I mean, I'm not going to put their business out there. From what I hear, it's for a logical reason. You know what I'm saying? On Gerald and MGK side, from what I'm hearing. But again, like, you know, that's life. You know what I'm saying? We live in front of the camera. So sometimes things get handled behind closed doors, and sometimes things get aired out in public.
Yeah.
And it's just another one of them situations.
That's one thing I realize as I get deeper into the rap game is that throughout my whole life, I've been extra, extra critical of any white rapper that has come out because of the fact that, you know, they it hits a little bit too close to home. The same way that, like, some rapper comes out and he's from the fucking block that you grew up on.
Right.
You're going to be more opinionated or more interested in what he's doing than you would if it was some guy from, you know, even 50 miles away is close. But, you know, if he's from the other side of the country, you're not going to feel as close to it. Like, you have to have a strong opinion about this dude.
It's a double-edged sword with Eminem. I remember I was in this program, you know, from all my high school and middle school. I never went to, I was like in like a reform, like juvenile joint. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my mates had the first Eminem album when I think I was in middle school, seventh grade. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was 98 when he came out from my perspective.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe I caught on late, but I just remember, like, I was like, man, I don't want to hear it. And then I remember being in the back of the class and with CD player with my head down, and I was listening to it. I was like, yo, this motherfucker be rapping like Jenny funny, because all I know is, hi, my name is. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what that was. And then I actually seen his techniques and his skill of rapping, and I was sold right then and there. So, I mean, if you love hip hop, you got a special place in your heart for Eminem, regardless of what you think is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I wish I could talk to him though, like, because I wish I could play him some of the songs that I grew up like. That made me a fan, cause there's technical things that I think that he not doing, like he used to do that he not doing for some reason, you know what I'm saying? And I always wanted to know just on some art stuff, like nothing like crazy, but I would love to know like why he stopped like doing certain techniques in his raps and all that.
Who do you feel like you have the most like highbrow conversations about lyrics with? Cause I can't even imagine you and Eminem having that conversation as a non-lyricist.
I think the best rappers are rap nerds. Mm-hmm. Regardless if they street niggas or not, like, they know cadences, they know how to pick beats. Ross is one of the best like ears in the ever in hip hop, you know what I'm saying? J. Cole, you know what I'm saying? We be having real talks about lyrics and delivery and all that other stuff, you know. That's the type of stuff that I think is fun. Like, you know, I've been watching a lot of documentaries recently and stuff, and like a lot on like different comedians and stuff. Even like the Gary Shandling, the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling. And what I've noticed is in the comedy world, there's so much unity.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? When Rodney Dangerfield passed, it was like all these, you know, legendary comics over there. And when he was in a coma, they were bringing his wife said that she heard some of the best material from some of the best comedians on the planet that were trying to wake him up with their voice or with inside jokes for this, that, and this, that, and the third. And I was just so, like, I was just enamored with that, because I'm like, there's a unity in that world that doesn't exist in our world, the hip-hop culture. It don't really exist. And maybe because it's hyper-competitive, but... You know, a lot of the comedians are hyper competitive, but there's a unity there that I don't really see much of. Even how about this? Look at like Mace's album and like a lot of them '90s album. You would hear like Rough Riders, some Bad Boy, some. You would hear rappers shout out other labels or other artists at the end of their song for no reason.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I think it might seem like a small thing, but I think it is very telling of the place that we are as a culture and what we've become a little bit.
I think, well, you know what the weird thing is that no kid has to choose hip hop now. It's kind of like the default choice of music to be into, especially if you're growing up in any sort of like the hood or whatever. Right. It's just like, that's what you grew up on. So it's like, kids never really get the idea that this is like a community that needs support, that kind of thing. You very rarely hear people be like, support the scene, go to this local rap show, because it's sort of taken for granted that this is the biggest music.
Oh, absolutely. I think hip hop is definitely taken for granted by the consumer and by the artist in a lot of ways.
It's been around too long and it's too dominant, and now it's so big.
But has it though? Has it, like, compared to what, country and folk and rock and roll? We relatively new for real. So I don't think it knows how to mature, and I don't know if it knows how to age gracefully yet. And it's gonna happen.
Right.
And it's gonna happen by people like Jay-Z continuing to put out top tier lyricism. People like even Will Smith getting the booth from time to time. You know what I'm saying? Like, and these are our hip hop forefathers in a lot of ways. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's gonna have to learn how to evolve and to age gracefully, and that comes with creating subgenres within it. Like guys like Uzi creating a subgenre. It's trap, it's like rock and roll, it's soulful in a way, you know what I'm saying? And then you got Jay talking about buying property and fly, and he's the best person to look at for, like, man, that's what I want for myself. A successful woman by my side, beautiful kids, making money, and just happy with my friends. You know,
nobody's ever transitioned into old man rap like he did.
Because it's, again, our genre's like 40-something years old. That's very, very young, bro. So it's like, there's going to be a lot more. You know, if you don't think Drake is going to, you know, be 50 years old when they still being able to sing and rap and make great songs, you tripping. I know it's going to happen, but, you know, our genre is very, very young.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, Jay-Z is, you know, one of the first people to do that, but I'm sure, you know, rock and roll, you know, got, you know, people that age gracefully. They had to start at some point.
Right. But it's weird, too, because it's like the Rolling Stones can still, like, they don't do album sales, or, like, their albums aren't culturally relevant now, like, the way that they used to be, but they could still go and sell out all these crazy-ass tours and stuff.
Nostalgia. Nostalgia. And it's unfortunate when nostalgia screams louder than, like, the present. And it's unfortunate because it's like, you got to give yourself a chance. Some people are just infatuated with where they were in their life when they heard that Rolling Stone album, or when they heard that LL Cool J album, or when they heard that Kid Cudi album, and they won't allow themselves to grow with that artist and be a part of what's going on next, even if it's better.
You know what's a weird thing, though, is that I feel like the health of the genre, in a way, is the reason why artists have a shorter shelf life, because people so constantly have new shit coming out that they're interested in. Like, in the case of classic rock, like, the reason why the Rolling Stones are still able to tour and do these huge shows that nobody else can do in that genre is because they essentially, like, closed the genre. Like, there aren't, like, modern classic rock bands that fit into that space.
It evolved.
But they won. Like, rap is still, like, evolving and changing and progressing, whereas, like, the best classic rock was probably written in the 70s, I think.
Golden era of rock.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
It's a weird situation to be in, because rap is more like, no, like, it's just this constant evolution and progression. And that's why I think that rap appeals to so many kids, because it's always that, it's just that feeling. It's like internet-influenced music, in the sense that it's always just rapidly changing. It's like memes and Twitter. Yeah. Rap is the music that, like, personifies that speed.
Exactly. It's like hyper culture. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's instant culture, instant... Okay, this is the slang, this is the fashion, this is the wave, this is this is the new person. It's another thing, too. Hip-hop is very, very, very overly obsessed with who's new.
Mm-hmm.
Overly. You know what I'm saying? And I say this all the time. Being new is not a skill.
Mm.
That ain't no skill. You just new. You're the new girl in school. There's a bad bitch in school, but you just new, so you get the attention. You know what I'm saying? And that's one of the problems with hip hop, is just an over infatuation for saying, I put you on to this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I put you on to shorty. I was on her first. You know what I'm saying? And then when everybody else is on her, they're like, man, I don't like that this no more because everybody's on it. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? That's like the merry-go-round of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? You're brand new, you're the darling, you're brand new. You have your mixtape, then you have your debut album, and then when it comes around the second time, it's a little slower for you. You know, every time it goes around, it's a little bit slower because you're not new no more.
Every time you put out a project or a song or whatever, you're just getting a little bit further away from directly relating to teenagers. And if you really want to do billions of views or whatever the fuck it is, it's like you basically at a certain point. The biggest artists are the ones that fucking 6-year-olds are out there watching over and over on their iPod.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true. That's very true. And I mean, you got to decide what you want to do.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that, or you want to just do the music that's in your heart?
Yeah. Nah, that's crazy. Like, just in the sense of like, but that's why, yeah, like doing the music that's in your heart. That's what it's really about. And that's why like rap needs to like enable more, you know, like people need to be able to be considered successful or considered to have healthy careers in the mainstream the way that they're presented, regardless of if they're capturing that Lil Pump demographic.
And you know, shout out to Pump, that's my label mate. But
shout out Pump.
I made my last EP, I made it like with the intent to just do what I do, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And people gonna love it, like it. I feel like I make it hard for you to hate on the jump, you know what I'm saying? And if niggas don't like it, they just ain't heard it yet, in my opinion. And I just doing what I'm doing. I'm not chasing no sound or nothing. I feel good about the response towards it, and you know, my fans, my hope is that my fans champion it so much that it's undeniable everywhere, because I know I'm not going to get the looks from certain publications or a certain demographic or whatever, but if I stick to what I do and just, you know, keep my, and me and my team are sharp on everything, these two guys right here, Big West and Breezy, like, you know, we got the squad, like, if we just stick to what we do, it's going to go. Mm. You know what I mean? Because the music is good. You know, I'm not making no fuck shit, man. I'm making some real shit. So, you know, it might not be the instant microwave of macaroni and cheese, but shit, nigga, you ever been to Child's? That shit take a little while.
Yeah, last time I went to Miami, the W Hotel had that like in the lobby. I was like, man, I'm excited because I have heard about this in a lot of rap songs. I never heard it before.
Yeah, I remember when they used to have a Child's in Miami. That was a good little time.
Mm-hmm.
Child's was on the run. They had the Express Child's in New York by the station and everything. That's when Child's almost got like McDonald's. They shut that shit down. Though.
I remember Hell Rel talking about it a lot. Hell Rel.
I miss the Heatmakers, bro.
Oh, okay.
I wish the Heatmakers do the whole Dipset new album, man. Shout out to Jimmy Cam, man, Joel.
Yeah, shout out to the whole Dipset, man. Yeah, actually, that was one of the last times I was in New York. I got called to the like Dipset apartment, and they were all sitting there just smoking and shit. And it was fucking weird as fuck.
I would have stole so many leather jackets out there, John. I would have got all them jumps. I'd be like, Cam, you don't need this orange and yellow joint. Let me get this joint.
No, Cam, Jimmy, and Joel's weren't there, but there was a lot of other like good, solid C-list, B-list players.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. All right, the Dipset was real big, though.
That
I
was
remember,
great.
Remember J.R. Rice, listening to J.R. Rice a lot. And when I think I was in college.
That one with Wayne, Bird Call or whatever.
Yeah, Dipset had a great run. They still doing their thing, too, man.
You ever miss that mixtape
era? I got a record with Cam coming up.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's good
info. We cut it a minute ago, but he's just getting it ready.
Yeah.
I talked to him at Katie's birthday party. Cam always been a good like mentor figure kind of guy.
Hell yeah. Yo, is there Wale material that is like basically not available online because you only ever put it out on mixtapes where the shit wasn't cleared and it never ended up on Spotify?
Bro, I got like how many mixtapes moves? Like 9, 11, something like that. 9 or 11 mixtapes.
That came out but then didn't really transition to online?
No, I mean, nowadays it got to go on the holy trinity of streaming platforms.
Right.
Is it a trinity?
What's the trinity title?
Yeah. I was considering title one of them top three, but.
Yeah.
The holy trinity plus one, I guess. But you know, it gotta be on the right joints for it to resonate the way you want. No, but shout out to all the other streaming platforms, Spinrella, that Piff and all that. But, you know, obviously legal reasons prevent, you know, people be like, why is this song not on Apple? And I'm like, because, I mean, I couldn't clear this sample.
Mm. It's just like, what are you going to do? You know, clear like a whole fucking album from 10 years
ago?
Yeah,
exactly. What's the point?
You got to get that shit on Dat Piff or something. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to ask you this question. Were you aware of that Kodak Black song where he was rapping over the Ambition beat that came out when he was 14?
Yeah.
That shit was hard as fuck.
Yeah, it was Young was way ahead of his time.
Yeah.
I wrote Kodak when he was locked up. Not this time, but the last time he was locked up. I haven't met him before, but I've always been a fan of his work. He reminded me of the old Young Turk mm. era of Hot Boys. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He gave me that vibe.
Yeah, I miss Turk. I miss that whole thing. I feel like NBA YoungBoy nowadays is kind of
got that vibe too, right?
He's captured a lot of that energy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I wonder if they ever do they even know Because sometimes that's just how they rap. I don't even know if they favorite rapper might sound completely different. They might not, you know, it's just that style.
I mean, you know, it's funny. They were telling me that YoungBoy just worships Boosie. Like, that was his kid, his dude growing up. So it's like he might have even, I don't know, but he might have missed, like, the Cash Money era as an influence. And then his influence is a person who clearly was influenced by
Boosie,
them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? That's how it happens. Each one teach more.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know what's funny? My guy Chris, he was telling me, like, 'cause he always, like, our whole life before we were involved in rap or anything, he would always have his Wale story about how he was filming this Red Bull showcase and how he fucking was holding the boom mic and he, like, was high as fuck and he smacked you with the boom mic a couple of times by accident and you were, like, really not feeling it.
I don't even remember, bro. that shit might have happened. If I was performing, though, maybe it was during the performance?
No, it was during, like, an interview that went along with the performance on some Red Bull shit. It was you competing against the Tokyo Police Club.
I remember that. And remember, they made me lose that joint. And I really won the crowd. That was
in front of the Capitol.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, that's when I had the Montclair on, the plaid Montclair. Yeah, I remember that. Somebody stole my shit that day, man. That's all I remember from that day.
Right.
Somebody stole my Montclair. That shit was fly. That was like 7 years ago. That shit was fly.
See, I forgot all about it, but then I seen you drinking that Red Bull during the Breakfast Club interview, and I was like, oh, yeah, he's always been like, well, keep fucking with the bull.
I mean, whoever got the bag.
Red Bull's an excellent beverage. It'll get you going. That's why I got in this coffee bean cup right here.
Oh, no, it's not coffee bean. Wasn't it like
that's pure coffee.
Okay, it's Red Bull.
My friend, though.
It's natural Red Bull.
Hesh was in here. He's had all this lean. He's like, you think Wale will have any? I'm like, I don't think so.
What, lean?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm like, I actually like to be awake.
Yeah,
believe it or not, believe it or not, and I don't have a cold right now.
When
so.
I hear people talking about Zans and Lean shit, I'm like, bro, you really want to sleep that much? Like,
I fucked around with Lean like a little bit, but I'm like, I was just trying it. I'm like, what's the hype about? Like, I'm tired. I just want to sleep. I'm not. I don't feel like, you know what I'm saying.
This was, like, years. This was, like,
years
sleeping.
Ago. It was years ago though. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I never got it. And plus, like, you know, like, bro, you know what sugars and them Jones, like, and people mixing it with the fancy. So let's not even talk, like, we're talking about diabetes and all this other wild stuff. Like,
leave the drug out of it. Drinking that much soda is insane.
That's, you know, it's weird. But again, I can't judge nobody because we all got our vices, man. I got some really close friends that they ain't kicked the cup yet. And I don't want to be the nigga that's always in their ear. Like, I'm just enjoy being a friend. And I'm not gonna, like, constantly, like, badger them about their vice because we all got them. I can encourage them when they're ready to, and I can, you know, say my piece from time to time. But it is depressing in a way. But again, I've been, you know, a victim of that, and I've seen a lot of it, and I've seen where a lot of it stems from. So I can understand both sides.
In my mind, the way, because I heard you say in an interview that you, like, you know, recorded that track that was, like, responding to Cole, and then you just immediately went to, like, North Carolina and kicked it with him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, did you then make the song that's on the new EP, or was that a separate process?
Oh, no. We made that jump. We made My Boy very recently. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Very recently. You know, Cole is, like, really one of my friends that's always there for me. Mm-hmm. Like, we really rarely talk about music, for real. You know what I'm saying? We talk about life and family and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't like to be that, you know, even when I see Eve, like, you know, we share the same tour bus for the Blueprint 3 tour. Like, we used to walk to the studio together, go get pizza together and be, like, record deals but still not really getting more money together. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm always going to be proud of them. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's always going to be somebody that I go to.
That song just, like, kind of felt like it had that reconciliation vibe.
No, it was more so we talked for a while and, like, just about nothing. He's like, yo, you feel like recording? I was like, well, shit, why not? You know what I'm saying? Hit me a blunt. You know what I'm saying?
But it said freestyle. So I was curious, like, what that means to you at this point.
It didn't have no freestyle, meaning it didn't have a, it wasn't structured like a general song. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't structured like that. Like, it was just kind of like we just was fucking around and we didn't want to put a hook here and da da da. We was just, like, vibing. Like, cause I don't know the final version. I believe you can still hear me. Like, yo, Cole, you ready? Like, is it ready? Mm-hmm. Like, cause he was engineering. He was like, all right, like, this, you about to drop? Like, count me in. You ready? All right. Yeah, Concrete since day one. Ain't no time to make up.
It definitely had that like freestyle energy. Yeah, it was like you guys didn't sit around and like drag this process out.
Nah, we was both in the room just whispering in our phones, like writing, like you know, you could feel the energy like bouncing off the walls in there. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
My man KM was in there, Joe, and I was like, I love I got to take a young nigga from around the way, and he's in the studio with Wale and J. Cole, like seeing the energy, and he's just looking around like, this is how this shit go. This shit is crazy, like you know what I'm saying?
That's fucking bugged out. That must have been crazy.
Yeah, man. That's how I try to do with my young boys and stuff like that. Like,
hey.
You know, even this one right here, this mischievous uncle.
We're talking about Toby?
Yeah.
Toby just told me we had to wrap the interview up because there's time constraints.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got a flight to catch. Oh, yeah. We about to get a little dinner.
I can't believe you guys are working together because I know him from Maxo Cream, like being on his team.
Oh, we going to do a lot of good things together. Like, we got a lot of little things. I'm not trying to veil too much now, but even Moose right there, you know what I'm saying? We do a lot of stuff with the film side. And it allows me to express myself in other ways. And then I got Wes and Reese. So I feel like I've created a circle for me that I've always needed people that care. I've always needed, you know, that sweetness of like a auntie, big sister vibe, and that's Reese. I always need like somebody that doesn't come from my world but understands my culture. That's Moose, you know what I'm saying? I always needed somebody that know me for a long time and know all my people back home and how the streets work back home and what's going on back home like I do, and that's Wes. And I always need somebody that never lets me forget where I come from, you know what I'm saying? Nigeria, that's the soil, and that's Toby, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like I've created a good little foundation for myself.
I feel like you like understand what you need more than I understand what I need. Like you just describe your own social circle.
It takes time. It takes time, and it's a lot of trial and error, bro. A lot of trial and error, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of disappointment, and who knows? One of these motherfuckers might just wake up one day and they swipe all my money away and change their name and leave the country. Who knows? I don't know.
Looking forward to it, Toby. yo, I really appreciate you coming on, man. It was dope to actually get to have a conversation
and
everything.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me. Shout out to all of y'all young rappers, man, coming here doing y'all thing, man. One message to y'all, man. Follow what you love, man. Like, follow what you love. If hip-hop is your lick, I ain't going to stop you. Get your money, but find something you love to do and be ready to go out for it. You know what I'm saying? That's all I got.
I like it. Hey, Wale, cool as fuck, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you, bro. Hey, sure. No Jumper.
I get my bike.
Yeah, we'll grab it from the front. No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. You can just throw it on the plane. Just throw it under the wing. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Bang. I'm